Something extremely important, of course, or I wouldn't be here, right? We would all still be in bed right now, right? I want to talk about aligning our spiritual path with the will of God. I want to talk about how to do that and why it's so important. Really, here's what I want to do. I want to teach on this topic today, how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit because many lives have been saved. Many lives have been delivered, even from death, because they have chosen to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Now, listen to this. Cooperate is defined as this. I like this definition. It's to work jointly toward the same end, or to assist someone, or to comply with their request. You see, we got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in this life. In fact, the Holy Spirit is the only part of the Godhead that is on this earth right now. So if you're not listening to Him, you're on your own and your life is going to be a mess. Amen? It's so important that we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I've really sensed a deep desire here at LWC that you guys really want to go deeper into that. Am I wrong? Am I reading the room wrong here? But many of you want that deeper walk with the Holy Spirit. Many of you want deeper waters. I like that. Amen? And that's what we try to give you here. What I try to seek the Lord for is I want to take you into deeper waters with the Holy Spirit to learn more. Go to John 14. John 14, verses 15 through 18 here. And the words are in red in my Bible, the red letter edition, meaning that's Jesus doing the speaking. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another," say another, "helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Oh, that's good. Look at verse 18. Many people stop there. "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Jesus said he would not leave us orphans. The reason for not leaving us orphans is this, that he's sending the Holy Ghost to us. That's shouting material. Amen. Now listen to this. The Greek word that's translated comforter, all right, or helper there, is the Greek word parakletos. Parakletos. To many of you, it means nothing, so let me break it down for you. This means this. One called alongside to help. Let's break it down even more. Parakletos. The word para in the Greek means this. Beside, alongside, next to, or near. Oh, now, the word kletos in Greek means this, to call upon or to summon. Listen to this. This is a rich word meaning comforter, strengthener, counselor, helper, advisor, ally, friend. The Holy Spirit is given to us to help us, amen? But notice that Greek word kletos. Say kletos. It means to summon him into our life. You got to call upon him to help you. Listen, I want you to notice the word helper in that verse, or comforter. In that word, it implies a partnership. I like that. And now, when I thought of that, when I was meditating on that for this message, the Holy Spirit said this to me. I heard this so loud in my spirit. He said this. Because it's a partnership with me, spiritual laziness will negatively affect that partnership. Spiritual laziness will negatively affect that partnership. Have you ever been in partnership with a person? Maybe in high school you were partnered up with someone to do a project, and that other person didn't do anything. They're worthless. You're in a business. You were doing everything. The other one didn't contribute anything. Spiritual laziness will negatively affect your partnership with the Holy Spirit. So many Christians are ignorant or they're lacking knowledge on this subject, and they're hindering the Holy Spirit in their lives more than operating with Him. So listen to this. Cooperate. Say cooperate. This word means operating together. The Holy Spirit transcends time. He transcends space. He transcends everything in the natural. He sees things and knows things that we don't know. Amen? He knows about circumstances that are coming. He knows what the enemy's trying to plan for you later this afternoon, the next day, right? He knows what's coming on. And so we need to pay attention when he tries to reveal or show something to us. He's trying to get us to sidestep those pits, traps, and snares in the attack. Now, so listen to this. So there's another comforter, another helper, Jesus said. There are two Greek words translated the English word another. Now, in the English, it's so shallow, it's just, oh, another. But listen to this. The first word translated another in Greek is alon. Alon means this, meaning another of the same kind, all right? And the other Greek word is heteros, meaning another of a different kind, all right? So in John 14, 16, the Greek word that's used there for another is the word alon, another of the same kind. Say it's the same kind. Say, it's the same Holy Ghost that Jesus had. See, Jesus is saying, the same Holy Spirit that is guiding me, that guided me on this earth, is the same Holy Spirit I'm going to send to you. It's not different. It's not a different Holy Spirit. And the same things Jesus said that I am doing on this earth, he said, because I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you, you're going to carry on with that mission. In John 14, 12, Jesus said this. He said, verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. This makes me think then, believing in Jesus is not just believing him. Because the devil believes in him. Demons believe in them, but there's no obedience in them. So to believe in Jesus means that you believe him to the conviction, to the feeling, to the point that you want to continue to do what Jesus did. If you don't have a motivation to do what Jesus did, you better check your belief system. Because there's not a feeling on the inside strong enough attached to that fact. A belief in your belief system means that you believe something, but there's a feeling attached to it. There's a conviction attached to it. That's why revelation from the Holy Spirit is so powerful. When you get a revelation, a conviction, a feeling on the inside, it's truth. It makes you want to act. That's why the disciples said, I'll give my life for Jesus Christ. Not just someone who, I know about Jesus. When the trouble comes, they want to bail. But the disciples said, I have such a revelation on the inside. The disciples said, I have such a revelation about Jesus on the inside. I'm willing to lay my life down. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only truth. Amen? So Jesus was saying, I am sending the Holy Spirit to anoint you with power. You have authority, but the Holy Spirit will add power to that authority, all right? He will add power or a supernatural. The word power is dunamis, which we get the English word dynamite. It means a supernatural ability, all right? So the Holy Spirit adds that supernatural ability. That's why it's super and it's natural. It's a partnership. He brings the super, you bring the natural. Amen? It's like peanut butter and jelly, baby. Oh! Hallelujah. So preach and teach the gospel. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. Advance the kingdom of God with authority and power. We need his ability. Amen? Authority is good. But man, you add power to that authority, and that's where demons in the kingdom of darkness say, whoa! right? Oh, man, I mean, that's just the overdrive that they hope you don't find out about. So here we go. How do you cooperate with the Holy Spirit? Number one, we must realize this as Christians, that our spirit, soul, and body belong to God and not ourselves. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you're going to take hold of the gospel message, if you're going to do anything that is meaningful on this earth before you take your last breath, before you go home to be with the Lord, you have to understand this fact. Your body, soul, and spirit belongs to the Lord and not you. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. Amen? 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 20. Look at this. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them a members of a harlot or prostitute? Obviously, some people in the church back there had some issues going on, all right? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Verse 18, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside of the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You don't even own yourself. Now, so the body of Christ is made up of many members. You agree with that? Many members in the body, but it's one body. And one thing that we have in common as many members is that the Holy Spirit desires to flow through each of us, and we move as one body. You could say it this way, or to move as one army. Show me a military, an army that's in battle where there's disarray, where there's disunity, and I'll show you a military that gets their cans kicked. Now, show me a military that is in unity and in step with each other. We heard it today. And there's victory there. Amen? So, when a Christian who's in covenant with God continues to live in willful sin, say willful sin, a lifestyle of sin I'm talking about, they're not living up to their end of the deal in the covenant. Because in a covenant, as I say it all the time up here, a covenant is a two-way street, right? God brings his, you bring yours. Amen? On top of that, you're taking God's property, body, soul, and spirit, and you're using them to promote Satan's kingdom on this earth. Now, that is ultimate treason. That is ultimate spiritual treason on this earth. Amen? Look at Hebrews chapter 10 real quick. We got to know this. If you're going to submit to the Holy Ghost, you have to know the serious. That's why I'm telling you this right now. You have to know the seriousness that you don't even own your own body. Right. Amen. Amen. So if you can get that deep into your heart, it's going to make it a little easier for you to say, oh, yeah, I need to submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? Hebrews 10. 26, it says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Hold on, I got you. Wow, this is in the New Testament, isn't it? Oh, my. This is written to Christians. This is not written to the world. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses of how much worse punishment. Wow. I mean, you just got to let the word speak for itself, right? Of how much more worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God, Jesus, underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing. So notice, this is talking about a Christian that was in the truth at one point. They were sanctified. and insulted the Spirit of grace. Notice the word Spirit is a capital S. It's talking about the Holy Ghost. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, I'm not trying to scare anyone into living holy, but I hope it scares you. Right? It should. I read that and I'm like, I mean, and I'm a pastor. Amen. A backslidden Christian is counting the blood of Jesus, it says, as an unholy thing. God forbid. Amen. It is, like I said, it's absolute treason and disrespect, really, for what Jesus has done for them and the price he's paid for us to be saved. All right? You got that point? Can I move on, or do I need to belabor that a little bit more? Okay, I'll move on. Here we go. How do you cooperate with the Holy Ghost? Here we go. We must realize that we as Christians are the ones who activate the power of God on this earth. Jason gave a word this morning. It was powerful. We are the ones as Christians that activate the power of God. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. I'm taking you through the word this morning, a journey through the word. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through 7. It says, for we do not preach ourselves. Well, it seems like a lot of ministers are preaching about themselves these days, doesn't it? For we do not, that's why they're not seeing the power of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. I love this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That power is from the Lord. That ability is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us that power. Amen. Again, he gives us the power and we release it. Amen. Again, supernatural. Super, that's the Holy Spirit's part. The natural is our part. Okay. Now, what do? What are we supposed to do? We preach the gospel. We speak spoken words. We lay hands on people. We pray. We cast out demons. We must command them to come out in the name of Jesus. Amen? The Holy Spirit uses our hands. He uses our voice. Again, if you want something to happen in the natural realm, it's got to come. The Holy Spirit has to come through a vessel. There has to be that invitation. There has to be that ask, seek, and knock. Amen? Say ask, seek, and knock. That's not just something that God's just telling you just so you can feel good spiritually. No, he's saying, I want to move, but it's got. I got to move through you. I got to move through somebody. Amen? According to Mark 11, 23 through 24, when our spoken words are backed by faith, it releases our authority. It releases the power of God. Amen? Now, listen to this. The next point that I want to share with you that the Holy Spirit gave me, when this literally came into my spirit like a lightning bolt. So I need you to pay attention to this point. If you don't remember any other point today, remember this point. This is how impactful it was to me. All right? Here's what the Holy Spirit said. Do not step outside or go beyond the anointing. Do not make one move outside of the anointing. Do not speak one word outside of the anointing that's on your life. Look at Romans 12, and I'll show you why this is so important. I mean, it was so dynamic when that came to me. I'm not even exaggerating here, okay? Do not go beyond the anointing that's upon your life. Don't move outside of the anointing. Do not speak one word outside of the anointing. Listen to this. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, here it is. Look at this. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Don't go beyond it. Or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So here's what the Holy Spirit's saying. He's saying, stepping outside of the boundaries of the anointing, or what I mean is the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's really what I'm talking about for your life. He said, it will bring damage, it will bring heartache, it will bring harm, and it will bring conflict into your life. Because the protection zone is his anointing. Don't step outside of that. All right? Now, how do you know when you're about to go beyond the anointing or beyond the boundaries of the anointing? You kind of want to know that? Yeah. I did. Here's what I got from the Holy Ghost. He said this. He said, there will be a lack of peace on the inside. Number one, of course, the inward witness. Number two, you will feel a restriction in your spirit. Like, don't go there. You'll feel a restriction. Has anybody ever felt that before? You were getting ready to go somewhere, and you just like, ugh, something don't feel right. And then you maybe went beyond that restriction, right? You hit that electric fence. Come on, somebody. And you're like, I really feel like I'm not on safe ground right now. Okay? There will be an unsettling feeling on the inside in your spirit. And you will... You may feel the anointing lift off of you. Say lift. You could say it this way. The easy flow that you had is gone. Now it feels like you're swimming against the current. Does that make sense to you? Now you're flowing against the current. That easy flow. When the anointing's flowing, it's a flow. Say flow. You may feel the presence of God leave, all right? But either way, something will feel off in your spirit, man. You won't feel a green light on the inside. That's happened to me in the past where maybe I was given a word of prophecy or something. And man, I was feeling the flow, the anointing, the flow. And then I felt, you know, I was like, okay, you got to stop. But I kept going. And it's like the words just fell to the ground. Like, ugh. And then the Holy Ghost said, I told you to stop. Right? See, if you go beyond the anointing, let's just say with prophecy, if you go beyond that, you're going to, the beautiful anointed thing you said here is going to be overshadowed by the, right? Like, well, that person just sit down because I'm, oh. Oh, it's just getting annoying now. Now, of course, I'm not talking about anyone in Living Waters Chapel. It's obviously someone watching in South Africa somewhere, right? But you get what I'm saying. Don't go beyond the anointing. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter, I just want to sit down for a couple seconds. The knees were hurting a little bit, so I used that. No, I'm just kidding. 1 John 2:18-20 to start with. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will warn you. He will warn you when you're going outside of, listen, the grace of the calling upon your life. The grace that he has given you. Stay within the grace. Say, I got to stay within the grace. 1 John 2:18-20. It says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know, and that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. Ah, here it is. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not. Oh, okay. Never mind. I'll stop there. Now go to 26. I did that for a reason. Go to 26. I put a stop at that verse for a reason. Here it is, verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Say, try. Anybody try to deceive you? And then when they tried, you felt it on the inside. Come on, somebody. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. It's talking about the Holy Ghost in you as Christians. And you do not need that anyone teach you. In other words, you're going to feel it on the inside. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. So the key to a blessed and successful life, ministry, is to stay within the grace, within the anointing that God has given you. Now, that doesn't mean the anointing that you have upon your life or your ministry now, that doesn't mean it's always going to be that way. Because God can take you into a next season. Amen. I'm talking to someone in here. Say the next season. All right. And part of that next season, if you're going to get there, depends on how much you're pressing in and seeking him for it, or how much you desire. How hungry are you for it? Amen. All right. Now, so the kingdom of darkness, listen to this. The kingdom of darkness is always trying to tempt us, to pull us outside of the anointing. They're always trying to pull us outside that boundary of grace upon our life, because they know that's a danger zone. Amen? And they know it's an open door. It's an open door. It's almost like setting a trap, right, for an animal or something, right? They're trying to set a trap so they get you outside of that safety zone. That's what the enemy's trying to do. You really got to be aware of this, okay? And they're trying to bring shame on the kingdom of God. Because, listen to me, you represent Jesus. You're an ambassador for Christ, right? So that's why when you go outside of that grace, when you go beyond that anointing upon your life, it's not just you. You're representing Jesus. You're representing the kingdom of God. Amen. So the Lord's saying, hey, as long as you stay within that boundary of grace, that anointing, that proportion of faith that you have, you're going to be a blessing and you're going to represent Jesus well as an ambassador. Amen. So these verses are telling us the Holy Spirit is always there to give us discernment, all right? So we simply need to do this. We need to pay attention. We need to pay attention to his warnings and obey it. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, doesn't it make sense that I do this or I do this? No, 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 no. In fact, Paul was getting ready to go on a missionary journey somewhere, and it said that he felt the Holy Spirit tell him not to go. Now, how many Christians would rebuke the devil in that case? Because in their mind, they're saying, well, we're supposed to advance the gospel. Well, obviously, the Holy Spirit wasn't telling him to go there. And if he would have went to that place, it probably would have brought some bad things into Paul's life. Are you getting it? It just makes you wonder how many times maybe where people's lives were even cut short because they stepped outside of that safety boundary. I'm telling you, this can mean life or death. Are you getting it? I'm telling you that we have to really pay attention to this, okay? We must obey the leading and the promptings of the Holy Spirit so that we abide in Christ. So abiding within the grace, abiding within in the anointing, you could say it this way. It means you're abiding in Christ. Say, I'm going to abide in Christ. So abiding in Christ means to stay within the safety zone of that anointing. Don't cross that boundary, all right? Again, in some cases, I got to say it again. It could mean life or death, all right? This is why there are so many verses in the Word of God where God is telling us to seek him first. Even when it doesn't make sense to your natural mind, if you get that check in your spirit, that lack of peace, I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how good and spiritual it sounds. Don't do it. So God's telling us, invite me into every area. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, oh man, it's the bait of the enemy to slap to something you want to do, to put something spiritual on it, to make you think, well, God must be a part of it, right? No, not if there's no peace on it. Amen? Again, it's for our safety. It's for our protection. It's meant to protect us so we can live a prosperous and successful life on this earth and to represent Jesus in the kingdom of God well. Amen? Now, listen to this. The word prosper. Say prosper. The word prosper means this, to have a successful journey. Our Heavenly Father desires us to have a successful journey on this earth. Amen. Amen. He's not the one putting sickness and disease on you. Amen. But I know who is. Yeah. Come on. Amen. The enemy. Now listen, let's touch on that a little bit. Even in the area of our health and healing, God is interested in this, all right? We got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit with our health and with our healing. Go to 2 Chronicles 16. I got to show you something here. We got to touch on this. Why? Because our healing and health it defines the quality of our life on this earth. Amen. And it determines if we're going to stay on this earth. So, I just found out. I just thought that was a little important to talk about today. Is that all right? So, in 2 Corinthians, or Chronicles 16, King Asa got a severe disease in his feet. Some theologians say, well, maybe it was gangrene. It was some kind of infection of some sort. He got a severe disease in his foot, and it threatened his life. The Word of God's very clear about that. And the Holy Spirit reveals something very interesting in the Word of God in connection to this account. Look at verse 7, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 7. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes, oh, this is a good one. You might want to underline verse 9 and keep it in your little treasure chest of verses. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the time. Here it is. Note that the acts of Asa, first and the last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but physicians. Oh my, that jumped out to me like a ton of bricks. Now, don't get offended about anything, because I'm going to clarify in a moment. Look at this. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. Now, listen to me now. So the picture is very clear here that King Asa departed from the Lord, meaning he stopped seeking the Lord for direction. Obviously, the loyalty of his heart to the Lord, his heart departed from the Lord. Are you following me so far? In other words, he went outside of the anointing or the leading of the Holy Spirit. It said when King Asa got that disease in his feet, he didn't seek the Lord, but physicians. Here's what you need to know. This is not saying that physicians are evil. Hello? Amen? Don't leave here today saying, Pastor James said don't go to a doctor. I am not saying that. But here's the point that he's trying to get across, is that Asa put more faith in man than he did God. That's the point. Amen. That's not saying God's against doctors, but number one, we should always seek the Lord first. Here's what you got to do. If you get a sickness, disease, and infirmity in your body, the Lord made it very clear. I mean, it was again like lightning in my spirit. He said, many of my people, when it happens, they don't even consider me or invite me into the situation at first. They do what they want to do in the flesh and expect me to bless it. When I have a course of action for each situation. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. I'm trying to help someone here. Amen. We're not against doctors at Living Waters Chapel. We're going to use everything to attack this thing. But what I'm saying, when you first get that evil report from a doctor, here's what you need to do. Lord, I'm inviting you into this situation, and I'm asking you, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? What do you want me to do? Connect me with the right individuals. Are you getting it? Many Christians don't do that. They start to freak out. They give in to fear. And then they start to do things, and God's saying, ask me what I want you to do. Because we know God is on our side. That's not the issue. Amen. Come on. When I think of this, Paul is a great example with his knee. He sought the Lord, and the Lord told him to go get that operation. But many Christians wouldn't go and get an operation. But Paul had enough common sense. He goes, I know I heard from the Lord to go get it. And you know what the supernatural thing is? Your knee healed up like very quick, even where the doctor was amazed, right? The point is, seek the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? That's the main thing you need to do when you first hear. And maybe you have something in your body right now, and you didn't seek the Lord. You know what? Just say, Lord, forgive me for not seeking you first. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, now, I'll do a whole reset. How do you want me to handle this, Lord? Because I know your word says that you're the healer. Come on, somebody. I mean, this is where the rubber hits the road here. That's why God says, listen, invite me into every situation. I have a path for you to freedom. I have a path for you to prosperity. Amen. So again, I got to say this again. Don't turn to God as your last option. Make him your first option. Seek his path. That's the blessed path. Don't be led by your flesh. Don't be led by fear. And expect God to bless it. Because God can't bless fear. Hello, somebody. God cannot bless fear. Amen? All right, next. You getting anything out of this today? Okay, listen to this. How to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, the next point. We must give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Give him something to work with, right? I mean, you're not going to go out and start a contracting business and hire someone and not give them some tools to work with while they buy their own tools. Okay, you smart aleck, just stop. I'm trying to make a point. Right? You got to give the Holy Spirit something to work with in your life. What do I mean by that? Go to John 14. John 14. So just stop right in your tracks. You need a healing in your body. Lord, I'm inviting you in. Forgive me for not seeking you first. Forgive me for falling into fear. How do you want me to handle this? Because I know you want me healed and well and made whole. Amen? John 14, 26. I think that's kind of a just good common wisdom from the Word. Don't you think? Yes. Wow, I want to ride this pony all the way. Come on, somebody. It's just good. It's just good wisdom. Bring God into it. Amen? John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. So I've said this many times, but it bears repeating, all right? To remember something means to recall it. You can't recall something you didn't know existed. So when you're reading the word, you're filling yourself with the promises. You're filling your file cabinet. So when a situation arises, the Holy Spirit takes a rhema word. He pulls open that file and he says, use this scripture for that. Stand on that scripture. That's your scripture to stand on for your healing, for your miracle. Amen? So we must get into the word so the Holy Spirit has something to work with. It says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. All right? So if he's going to teach us all things, guess what that means? It means that we need to be teachable. Say, I need to be teachable. So to be teachable then, the Holy Spirit has to have your attention. All right? He has. If he doesn't have your attention, he can't teach you anything. Right? If I don't have your attention here, I can't teach you anything. Wake up. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody's sleeping. But listen to this. Listen to this. Here's my next point of how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We must take the time to meditate on the Word of God, meditate on the kingdom of God, meditate on spiritual things connected to the kingdom of God. We need to meditate on the things of God. Go to Joshua 1:8 real quick. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Again, meditation is just a neutral word. Some people use it for good, some people use it for evil. Are you getting it? Meditation is neither good nor bad. It depends how you're using it. What are you thinking on, right? What kingdom are you inviting into your life through what you're meditating on? Joshua 1:8, and it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, say then, you will make your way prosperous, or have a good journey on this earth, and then you will have good success. So, there is a very good reason why we're commanded to meditate on the Word of God. Here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. Get ready. We're going to go deeper. Are you ready? Here's why we're commanded to meditate on the Word of God. There's so many reasons, but this is the one that popped out at me. It programs our soul. It programs our soul, our mind, just like you would program a GPS system. Now follow me here. Listen to me. A GPS or global positioning system, it's worthless. The GPS I have in my airplane right now, it's absolutely worthless until I put in the identifier of what airport I want to fly to. Are you getting it? If I don't do that, it's worthless to me. All right? So I need to program my GPS of where I want to go. And meditating on the Word of God sets your spiritual course in a righteous direction, and it opens your spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. It programs your destination to keep you on course with your destination. That's why God doesn't say, keep your eyes on the situation. What does he say? Look up. Look to me. Are you getting it? So when you're meditating on the word, meditating on the things connected to the kingdom of God, you are programming your mental GPS to stay on course. All right? Here's what it does. It causes you to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Meditation has everything to do with the object of your focus. Say focus. Listen to this. Someone needs to hear this right now. You will excel and prosper in what you focus on, but you will fail in what you lack focus on. I guarantee you, show me any area of your life that you're prosperous in, you have a focus. You've been meditating on that thing. You've been meditating on good success of that thing. Show me something in your life that you're horrible at. Guarantee you, your focus is not even on that thing. Your attention is not even on that thing. Here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. He said, think of your goals as plants and your focus on it as the water. Now listen to me here. Listen to me. Think of the goals in your life as plants and your focus as water. If you have 10 goals and you take your focus and you split it up over them 10 goals, you're probably not going to get very far with any of them because there's hardly any focus when it's spread out over 10 things. Are you getting it? Yeah. Now listen to me. You have 10 plants and one can of water, and you water each one. When you water each one, there's not enough water to impact each of those 10 plants. But if you will take that can of water and you use it on one plant or a couple, now that water is going to make a difference for the plant that you're using it on. That's how important your focus is in life. Focus, say focus. That's why there can be light like this where it's spread out, or they take light and they make it real slim, and guess what they call that now? A laser. And you can actually do some damage with that thing. You can actually, something, I mean, it cuts through steel. It's the same light, but they're focusing in on that thing. Are you getting it? So your goals are like plants, and your focus is like the water. Now, listen to this. It's like this. It's like having 10 books that you want. I'm real good with this. Having 10 books that you want to read. Right? You know where I'm going with this. Focus and finish one at a time. But what usually happens is you lose interest and forget about all of them, and you don't even finish any of them. So here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, you need to prioritize your goals and make sure you have enough of your attention, enough of your focus to impact and fulfill that goal. That's why the Word of God says if the Lord gives you a vision, what does He say? Write it down. Write it down. Why? So your attention and focus stays sharp. So you can get some laser focus and fulfill this thing. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the kingdom of darkness, you know what they're pretty good at? Distracting us. They're trying to take that laser of attention that we could have and be an impact for Christ on this earth, and they make it just where it's not impactful. And they're doing a real good job of that, unfortunately. So we need to learn how to master our attention and focus on a goal. And you need to incorporate the Word on those goals. Amen? All right, here we go. Next, how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Make the proper changes in your life that the Holy Spirit reveals to you to make. Sounds easy, but is it being done? Go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. I want to show you something here that the Holy Spirit pulled out to me that I think will be a blessing to you. Philippians 3, 15, or 13 through 15, I want to take a look at here. Say focus. It's so important. I mean, I even notice it when I'm working on a sermon. If my focus isn't there, you know, like Marianne will call me and say, hey, you done with your message? I'm like, I haven't even started yet. Why? Because my focus is just, sometimes it's just off. You start watching something on YouTube or something, and it's like, you know, then I'm like, you know, it's 4 or 5 o'clock. I'm like, I might as well go home and mow the lawn because I'm not getting anywhere. I'm going to come back and try it the next day. And then the next morning I come in here and pray. I leave everything else, and I'm focused. I'm telling you the truth. I can sit at my computer for about 6 or 7 hours without hardly moving, focused on a message, and it goes by like it's a half hour. When you're focused, we can accomplish so much when we're focused on something. Amen. Philippians 3, 13 through 15. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, say mature. That's talking about spiritual maturity. Have this mind or mindset. And if in anything else you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So spiritual, this is what this is saying. Listen to me now. Spiritual maturity in a life of a Christian will cause you to forget or get over the past and press forward to the future in your life. If you have any hindrance to that mindset, if you have any hindrance to that mindset, it says the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal that mindset to you. Isn't that good? He's always looking out for us, isn't he? So I want you to notice this, though. The Holy Spirit will not change your mindset for you, but he will alert you. He will reveal the problem and the hindrance, but you must make the change for yourself. All right? Why? That's because of free will. That's because of free will. Say free will. Not free willy, free will. Free will. It can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. Depends how you're using it. Amen? The Holy Spirit is constantly looking out for you. He's constantly looking out for your welfare on this earth. In fact, he wants you to become spiritually mature so much. It says, you know what? I'm going to reveal things. When there's a hindrance, I'm going to reveal it. But you need to listen to me. You need to make the change yourself. Amen? He wants you to stay on course. He wants you and I to be blessed. Now, the next thing, and I'm almost done. He wants to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We need to keep our spirit or inner man built up by praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, or you could say it this way. Let's just sum it up like this. Pray being led by the Spirit, and that includes praying in tongues. Amen? Jude 20 through 21 talks about that. So you're building up, you're charging your spirit man, you're keeping the flesh under. It's like charging your battery. Amen? So we need to do that. And I'm pressing through here. Now, so our prayers in our own language, they must be guided by the Word of God and led by the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Our prayers in English or your native language, when you're praying yourself, not in tongues, yourself, all right, by what's in your spirit, our prayers must be guided by the Word of God and led by the Holy Spirit. Now, Ephesians tells us to pray with all kinds of prayer. Interesting, right? All kinds. That tells us, well, there must be all kinds of different prayer, right? The key to all of the kinds of prayer is this. Very simply, be led by the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you go into your prayer time, when you go into your prayer closet, say, what do you want me to pray about today, Holy Spirit? What do you want me to pray about, right? And the next thing, how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Create an atmosphere. This is my last point. Create an atmosphere that is pleasing to the Holy Spirit and promotes fellowship with him. Look at Acts chapter 13 real quick. Acts 13. We got to promote the right atmosphere. Amen? The Holy Spirit is no different than another person. If you got a horrible attitude, you got things going on, you're not being respectful, you know, that's going to clam someone up who's around you, and the same is going to happen with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Look at this. Acts 13, 2 and 3. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, and sent them away. So I want you to notice it said they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Ministered to the Lord. In other words, they were worshiping the Lord. They were creating an atmosphere of worship toward him. And that's an atmosphere that promotes fellowship, that promotes communion with him. Amen? Acts 8, 26 through 29 talks about Philip, that he was obedient to the instructions from the Holy Spirit to go join himself with a eunuch. We need to, our eyes and ears, they're always focusing out. But sometimes take a moment to just kind of look on the inside. Do you know what I'm saying when I say that? Kind of let yourself drop down inside just to hear what's going on in your spirit, man. Because that's where the Holy Spirit lives. Amen? Now, I know if you're a young Christian, you're not new to that. It just means focus. Be very quiet and just focus on the inside. Be very quiet and focus on the Lord. And I guarantee you, if you will do that, you will hear, you'll start to, the Holy Spirit will start to give you visions on the inside. He'll start to speak to you on the inside. It's not going to be audible like you're hearing me right now, but you're going to hear something on the inside. Amen? All right, so 2 Corinthians 13, 11 and 4, that's it, and I'm done. 2 Corinthians 13. I love how the Apostle Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit, ended this passage here in 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 14. He said this simply, "Finally, brethren," to sum it all up, "farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind," or in unity, "live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you." Verse 14, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion," or fellowship, or that connection, that partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Church, if you will take all these points that I talked about in this message, if you will take them to heart, if you will think about them, you'll meditate on them, if you and do them, you will start to align your spiritual path within the will of God, and you'll start to live within the blessing of God. And one of the most important things that you can ever do on this earth as a Christian in your earth suit right now, are you ready? Is to learn to hear from, be led by, and cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on up. Now, maybe there's someone in here today. You have not made Jesus Lord of your life. I'm telling you right now, do not leave this place. Marianne and I, we went to a funeral this week of a 32-year-old mother and two sons, 12 years old and 9 years old. We walked by three open caskets. That wrecked me, seeing little kids in a casket. It happened because of a car accident. The mom was passing, and there was gravel that was loose, and she hit the guardrail, and it flipped them over into a creek in Lapeer, and they were killed. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, you need to do it right now, today, before you leave this building. Because I'm telling you, you don't know when you're going to take your last breath. Sure, we can talk all faith and all this. Oh, well, I'm going to believe in Lord. No, you need to just make him Lord of your life right now. Because the moment you take your last breath, game over, it's done, and your eternity is sealed. Your destination is sealed. So if you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, come forward and pray with one of the prayer team members. Now, maybe you're in this place and you're backslidden. You've fallen away from the Lord. Maybe you're one, you're saying, look, maybe I haven't been counting the blood of Jesus as a treasure like I should. Today is the day you need to repent and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. And it's time to really connect and hook up with the Holy Ghost in your life. You can make a change today, right now. If you want to rededicate your life, you want to make a fresh commitment, come on down and pray with a prayer team member. If you want to find out about the Holy Spirit baptism, praying in tongues, and the power that he offers through the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. If you need prayer for anything else, we'll stay here as long as we can to pray with you and to minister to you. So just to let you know, Marianne and I are flying out to Tampa tomorrow morning for Roddy Howard Brown's fire conference. And I'm telling you, after this week, I need some fire. I need a fresh fire. It was tough seeing this. My cousin died in a car accident. It was just a bad deal. Just this week was rough. I'm telling you, that's why one of the reasons I preach this is because the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. He will keep you safe. My cousin died in a car accident. So I'm just saying, we need to be sharp and focused on being led by the Holy Ghost. Amen? If you need me, you can call me, text me down in Florida. If I don't answer for 2 hours, just wait longer. All right. Love you all. I'll be back Friday night. So have a great week, everyone. Everything is on as usual. Wednesday, Friday, all that good stuff. Love you all.